Praise God. Hallelujah. Back again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get so excited every time my pastor asks me to fill in. There's so many capable ministers. There's so many capable people in this church that he could choose. And it's just such an honor to be able to serve in my pastor's pulpit. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tim, he sent me a message this morning and asked me if I'd be willing to fill in for him, and I remember when he first asked me, my reaction, you know, the first time he ever asked me, my reaction was kind of like, okay, you know, like a little bit. But now, you know, I've realized that it's just so exciting to be able to serve him that way. And so I was like, yes, you know, exclamation mark. So I get excited for it. But praise the Lord, God's got something good for us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you came expecting, because we're gonna get into some stuff tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called Rest in Peace. Hallelujah. Rest in peace. And we, you know, the world has it wrong. They usually like to put that on gravestones. Amen. Rest in peace. But, you know, we're supposed to live rested in peace. Amen. And the Lord has been dealing with me a lot on this personally lately. And so I know that I shared it with my church, a little bit different message with my church on Sunday. But I'm excited to be able to share this with you tonight. Amen. But we know that God wants us to rest, and he wants us to be in peace. In fact, it's a call of a Christian to be in peace and rest at all times. Amen. And if we're not, there's something off. You know, recently I was dealing with some situations where I just was, you know, I just wasn't in peace. And you know what it's like when you're not in peace, you know. And I've learned enough to know that when that's going on, something's off. So you're missing it somewhere. There's something off, you know. And sometimes it's just a small adjustment that you got to make. Praise the Lord. But praise God for small adjustments. Amen. You know, I had a reset even this week, and I'm just so thankful for it. And, you know, when you get resetted in peace, praise the Lord, it's like you get to start all over again. And what a wonderful God we serve. Amen. But you know, peace, one of the things peace does is peace will put you in joy, true joy, the fullness of joy. Amen. In fact, it'll put you in so much joy. True peace will put you in so much joy that the people will really think you're crazy. Amen. And that's exactly where we need to be. We need to be people that exhibit God's joy, his peace. We need to be walking around with it because it speaks to people. Amen. I don't think there's a greater thing in this world that will come out of our lives that will speak to people as much as joy and peace, especially peace will. Amen. In a world that's just so chaotic and so much turmoil. You know, I mean, even these, you could take this to Washington, praise the Lord. You put this you could take this into when they're arguing back and forth. And if you put God's peace in there, oh, praise the Lord, things would get done. Amen. Things that get taken care of. But this is what people really need, and it's Christians that need to bring it to the world. Amen. It's our job to bring it. You know, there's so many things that God wants to bless us with. There's so many things that came, through Christ's blood, through the atonement. There's so many things that have been bestowed on us. There's so many things, like God wants you prosperous. He wants your life. He wants you to have good jobs and nice cars and nice houses and all that stuff. But there's nothing that will speak to the world more than the peace of God. Amen. So why don't we start in Scripture. Praise the Lord. That's a good place to always go. Amen. We're going to go to Isaiah 26. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26. I just got to find where I put it. Amen. Isaiah 26. I purposely looked at it earlier just so I knew where it was. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:3. Now, I love this scripture. This is one to give you a little history in this scripture in my life. You know, I remember early on, I was actually waiting to pick up my, it would have been my son Caleb from school. And I had some kind of turmoil going on in life. You know, I had something that was bothering me. I'm a very heady person, you know, by nature. Glory to God, I've been delivered of that. But, you know, a very heady person by nature. And so I was just wrapped up in my head, wrapped up in depression. Couldn't figure things out. And I text pastor. I was like, you got a scripture for my head. Hallelujah. And he didn't say a whole lot, but he just texted back Isaiah 26:3. Amen. And I, oh man, praise the Lord, this changed my life. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, praise the Lord, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you Glory to God. You will keep him in perfect peace. Not just peace. I love the scripture says perfect peace. You know, this is like one of if we took this scripture and we just really got this in us, this would change every situation in our life. Everything that you ever going to face, everything that the devil could ever throw at you, anything anybody else could ever throw at you, praise the Lord. This scripture right here will answer it. You will keep him in perfect peace. That word peace, of course, we know that word peace is the word shalom. And it's one of the names of God. It's one of the names that he actually identifies himself with. He's the God of peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. That it means health, prosperity, peace, and rest. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Peace is such a wonderful thing, isn't it? It covers all these things. And you think about it, it makes sense because how are you in perfect, how would you be in peace if your life is just turned upside down? How would you be in peace if you didn't have, if you, you know, when people live in paycheck to paycheck and they never know what they're going to, you know, where the next meal's going to come from, they're not living in peace. You know, people who are out there working 3-4 jobs trying to make ends meet, they're not living in peace, amen? And these are all things that the world is after. These are all things that we know that, you know, everybody's after it. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Amen? And I love that it says stayed on him because, it gives us the indication that it has to be kept there. You know, it's not enough to, like, just go there. It's not enough to just go to church. Amen? Has anyone learned that? I said it's not enough just to come here to church. You got to stay in. The word. You got to stay with God. You got to stay before God. It's the job of every Christian. That's why we holler about these things and we talk about these things and we drive these points home because people have got to learn that if your life is not built and based around the Lord and everything that is involved in his plan for your life, if that's not your life, then your life is going to be chaotic. Your life is going to be without peace. In fact, most Christians that live without peace in their lives, they're living it because they don't truly have their life focused on the Lord. Amen? I remember, growing up and there was this idea. No, it wasn't a spoken idea, but everybody just kind of thought this, that consecration and things like that are for the pastors. They're for the deacons or they're for whoever, they're for the ministers. It's not necessarily, because everybody else, we all got lives to live, right? We all got things. We got jobs to work. We all have jobs during the week, right? Because pastors don't. Praise the Lord. We all have things that we all have things that we have to take care of. We have families. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love it. I came in the church with a family. When I learned how to serve, I learned how to serve with the family. Amen. I learned how to be focused on God with a family. Amen. Praise the Lord. So much so that we made our family part of it all. Amen. Until it's so much a part of them. I got a kick out last night. Yesterday, I just, in my spirit, we have a Tuesday night service now. And Pastor Michael also has a Tuesday night service. And yesterday, I was just sensing in my spirit, I really knew that I needed to go up to his service. You know, it's good to know when you're supposed to be in a service and then to follow through with it. But so I talked to my wife. I didn't want to throw it on her. She had gotten out of work, working all day. And I'd been trying to prepare for service all day. And I had a message, but it just wasn't, it just didn't seem right that I didn't go to his service. And so I asked my wife about an hour before service if she'd preach for me. And of course, she did. Praise the Lord. And it was wonderful. And she knocked it out of the park. Glory to God. But I went up to Pastor Michael's. But I knew that I had to go so much. And I didn't want to just put that on her last minute. So I even made the comment, and Ezra had fallen and kind of hurt herself. And I had made the comment when we were talking about this. I said, well, if we had to, we could cancel church service. I just know I need to be up there, And I love that Ezra's reaction was like, no. She was like, no, don't cancel church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just love that it comes out of a child because they know the importance of the house of God. Amen. And that isn't just something for, a minister's family. That's something for all of us. And what I'm talking about is not, we're not doing enough in the church or whatever. But I'm talking about and trying to focus on what is God's and not what is ours so much. Amen. Because we find You know, and part of this, I was going to go to the scriptures in Matthew, you know, the worry scriptures in Matthew that you know, Jesus said, do not worry, praise the Lord. And he goes on, tells us to look at the birds, and he tells us to look at the flowers and all these things. And, you know, he tells us how they don't, like the flowers, they don't toil. They're not working to try to make ends meet. Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father supplies all the things that they need. And he says, how much more would he, you know, I guess I went to him anyways, kind of just talking about him. But we're not going to read him specifically because I got a whole lot of other scriptures, amen. But, you know, Jesus was telling us something very important there. He was talking about our lives and the things that we do. And he's like, you spend so much, basically what he's saying is you spend so much time focused on your stuff. You spend so much time focused on things that God is already willing and able to supply. They're not just willing and able, but like, you know, Jesus, if you realize that Jesus actually died to provide this stuff for us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we can all just sit at home. We have to go to work. I understand that. We have to have jobs. There's things we have to take care of sometimes. Amen. You know, even in a church, of course, there's lots of things, you know, that are that a pastor could deal with that have nothing to do with, have nothing to do with the ministry part of it. So there's always things that are there to take care of. Amen. But Jesus said not to worry about any of that stuff. He said don't even focus on any of that stuff. And of course we see here in Isaiah, the word tells us to keep our mind stayed on him. You know, I think of that word stayed, and I don't know why, maybe if we dug into it, maybe this would be in the meaning, but that word stayed, it just, to me, you got to force it to be there. Amen. You know, doesn't your mind want to wander? You know, if you ever tried praying, you know, you like hear a good message on prayer and you're like, all right, I'm going to get in. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pay the price. And you start praying and 5 minutes into it, you know, your mind's on everything else and all the way between, you know, praise the Lord. But, that word stayed, it's like we bring it back to those things. We bring it back to God. See, that's where our peace is found. It's not found in trying to figure out what your next job is going to be, what your next business is going to be. It's not, people build all these things in life, but they're not building the right things. They're not, God would bring them to us. He would bring us into them things. You know, I'm not saying, there's obviously work involved. But see, when you do it with the Lord, I use this example. I had a bunch of situations. We got a bunch of things going on in our life right now, right? Has anyone got some stuff going on in their lives? Praise the Lord. So we got lots of things going on in our lives, right? Lots of important things, amen? You know, we got all kinds of things to deal with. And there was this one thing in particular. There was a bunch of things that were trying to just really overcome me. You know what I mean? And get me to that place of not being rested. And, you know, when you're not rested, when that's there, you know, you feel agitated, you feel snarky, you know, all these things. You just, like, things aren't going well. You're a little bit irritable, you know, all these things that you deal with. You know, you try to walk in love, but you fail, you know what I mean, all these things. And I'm experiencing these things myself. And, of course, the Lord reminds me, he reminded me to cast my care. And so I did that. And, you know, when I was before one of these things, I had to come into, it was a building project that I couldn't quite figure out. And when I came before it, after I cast my care, and I truly cast my care, we're going to get into that some too, but I truly cast my care. And after I got into it, I walked up, and instantly the Holy Ghost gave me the answer to the whole project. Things I had worried about for a month or more. Things I was trying to figure out in my head, and I would sometimes even lay awake trying to figure it out. And here was the answer. See, that's where peace is. And see, you learn that when we learn about our God, when we start realizing that, hey, our God does want to supply these things. He wants us to have the answer. He wants us to know that we can get to the other side. He wants us to know that we're going to get there good. He wants us to know we're going to get there full. We're not going to be coming in broken. We're not going to come in just barely getting along, but we're going to come in good, amen? He wants us to know that, but he wants our focus on him, amen? And that's what this means. Praise the Lord. Perfect peace is immovably and unshakingly trusting in God. You know, the Bible says here at the end of that verse, it says, because he trusts in you. Now, we, in churches, this is like a good churchy phrase, right? We trust God, amen? We trust in the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good, these type of things. You know, saying God is good literally means like you trust in God, you know? Or it's kind of given that impression or that idea. But how many of us really trust in the Lord? How many of us are really, because when, I'm going to tell you something, if you're getting worked up, you ain't trusting in God. I ain't talking to, I mean, I'm talking to me too, but if we're getting worked up, if we're getting bent out of shape, if we're trying to, if this thing is just up, the trial or whatever it is, it's upsetting and it's just constantly hitting us and we're not trusting in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus didn't run around freaking out. Amen. He didn't run around not knowing what he was going to do because he received his direction from heaven. Why? Because his mind was always stayed on God. He sought God for everything. He stayed before his heavenly Father all the time. You know, as I've been pastoring and I've been learning to consecrate myself more and do more, and I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I'm learning it more, I'm saying. We should all grow, right? And so as I'm learning this more, the thing that I'm learning is the more I stay before the Lord throughout my day, the more blessed my life is. And I don't mean just blessed because things happen. I mean, things come, praise the Lord, things happen, that's good. But I mean just happy, just enjoy and just at peace, praise the Lord. Right where we're supposed to be, amen? Praise the Lord. We're told to have childlike faith, amen? Have we ever seen that in Scripture? What is that? It's believing God like just because he said it. You know, I think about a baby sleeping. Now, a baby sleeping that doesn't have issues, you know what I mean? There's not anything going on, but just a typical baby sleeping. You know, they don't have a care in the world, do they? Why do they sleep so good? You know, the phrase, sleep, I slept like a baby. What's a baby sleep like? Oh, they just sleep until they got a care. You know what I mean? But they're not thinking about the mortgage payment. They're not thinking about the bills. They're not thinking about the lawn that needs mowed. They're not thinking about the roof that needs fixed. They're not concerned with all that stuff. All they're thinking about, they're just sleeping. Amen. And this is this is kind of a problem we see in Christians. Is see, we get to the place where we think we know too much. We think we kind of get to that place. I liken it to like a teenager. Has anyone ever seen a teenager like operate? You know, teenagers, they're starting to grow up out of that childhood stage and they're like getting to that place, especially later teens. Praise the Lord. And you know, they think they know something, right? Praise the Lord. You know, I'm in my 40s and I'm sure people in their 60s look at me and think, man, he thinks he knows something, but he don't know nothing yet. Amen? And that's the truth. I mean, I'm looking at teenagers thinking that and 20-year-olds thinking, oh, you don't know anything. You know what I mean? Like, and it's funny. See, we think we know something. We think that we got to figure it out. We think we got to do these things. But see, the whole time God says, just trust me like a baby. Just trust me like a kid, child. Just get into that place of trusting God. Amen. Truly trusting God. We have to know that he's for us. We have to know that we say that he's for us. I know we say this. I've heard you say it. I've heard me say it. Praise the Lord. Don't we say it to each other? God's good. He's for us. He's helping us. He's there. But do we really believe it? When the trial comes, are we really, is that what we're focusing on? See, that's where that place of perfect peace is found, is that as we trust in God, as we truly learn to do that, it lifts us to that place in his presence. Amen? And it helps us. Glory to God. Why don't we turn to John 16:33? Praise the Lord. My daughter and I, every morning, we say, we got this drive on to school, when I take her to school. And we decided we're going to take this, at least some of this time, and we're going to just learn some scriptures, you know. We just figured it'd be better to know some than to not. Glory to God. And so this is one of the, actually these first two scriptures are two of the scriptures that we recite every morning. We get them in us, it changes our life, doesn't it, honey? It changes our lives. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're up to maybe, 8 or so scriptures or scripture sets that we memorize and we speak every morning. And then we add to them. Once we got them real good, we add to them. Amen. But I don't know why, it's free. Hallelujah. It's good. John 16:33. So I get excited when I read these scriptures. I get excited when I get into them. Amen. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, amen? In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We know the scripture. I know that I'm not reading a scripture you've never heard before. But the thing is we have to, it's not enough to just know it, we have to really know it. We have to have these scriptures in us. These have to become a part of us, amen? This is referring to really the same thing as we saw in Isaiah. He says, these things I've spoken to you. What are the things that Jesus spoke to us? Well, it's the word, right? That's all the word. I mean, Jesus spoke the word everywhere he went. He answered with the word. When there was an issue, he answered with the word. And he said, these things I've spoken to you that you may have peace. Because there's stuff in the world that will try to rob you. But the things, if you focus on the things that I said, if you focus on the things that God has said, you'll stay in that place of peace, even during the trial, even during the storm. See, and it's not a matter of just going through the storm, but it's how we go through the storm that really matters. We have to get to that place, man, because, again, like I said, this is what speaks to people out there. You know, when people, it's sad, but when you hear Christians and all they're doing is complaining and all they're doing is talking about how bad it is and they're talking about how rough it is. You know why it's so bad and it's so rough? Because it's all they're talking about. Amen? I've been one of these Christians. Amen? I like to think that I'm better than that now. There's times when I fall into that still, you know, and I have to be reminded of these things. But my point is that, you know, this is what a lot of Christians are showing the world. You know, I go back to this. There was this hometown pharmacy that I used to go to once in a while, and this guy, the owner, I got to know the owner pretty well just from going in there and stuff. And I came in one day, and he's like, hey Jeff, how's it going? I said, oh, it's going great, you know. And he's like, you know, that's why I like asking you that. He said, because every single time I ask you how it's going, you say it's going great. I didn't even think about it. I mean, I had just been trained this way. This is like, been these kind of things have been put in me. I learned this a long time ago. But, you know, it's just something that, you know, we picked up in church, praise the Lord. I ain't going to take credit for it because it wasn't like I was coming up with, you know all this wonderful knowledge on my own. But, you know, it was put into me, and it was just over and over again, you know. You could say it was hammered into me. It was drilled into me. It was on my toes into me, you know what I mean? Like all these things. So we learn about speaking right and stuff like that. It speaks to the world. Now, this man knew. When I first met him, I had a business in the town. We had a frame shop, and we went from a business to I went to working for the church, you know, and he followed all this progress over the years. And now he knows that we started a church, and then he hears, you know, that we sees the church growing because he lives up in that area. And, you know, it's just a testimony to God's power and what God really does in people's lives. Amen. We have to live in peace. Peace is one of the most important things, because if you're not living in peace, you're not hearing from God. If you're not living in peace, you're going to have a hard time, because God leads by peace. He leads by peace in our spirit. So if we're so unacquainted with peace because of whatever, we won't even be able to follow God into what He has for us. God has all this wonderful things for us, amen? He has all these things for us to do, and all we focus on, and I know how it is. I mean, you know, I don't know if Pastor's been preaching a lot about it. I know I've brought it up a lot, but about distraction and stuff like that, you know. You know, we get distracted very easily. Sometimes it's legitimate reasons. I'm not saying it's not. But that is not a reason, it's not completely legitimate to just get so distracted that we miss what God is doing. Because I got to thinking about this one day. I was like, you know, God gives me a lot of revelation in the shower. I don't know why, but maybe because I'm cleaning myself up or something. I don't know. But, you know, I'm in the shower, and it was preparing for getting ready for a service. And, you know, all of a sudden, I'm getting this understanding about, praise the Lord, what was I just talking about? Oh, yes, I know what I was talking about. Revelation about, I just lost, no, I'm just kidding. But we have this life here that we live, right? I like to, you know, I used to say 70 years, give or take a few. Now I like to say 100, give or take a few. Amen? Because the first 40 has gone by pretty quick, so we'll give it a little bit longer. We got things to do. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, here's the thing. There's eternity before us, and there's eternity after us. It's a long time. I mean, that is a long time. We are here for this much time. It's like a blink of the eye that we're here. And like, are we when our focus is on just that, just getting by? Do you know what a trap of the devil it is to get people to just get by? He gets people into that groove of we're just. I remember I spent the first my entire 20s. I spent seeking how to just get by, how to get out of it. I was every day. This was my focus because I didn't know God like I know now. I didn't know these things. I wasn't taught these things. And I'm like, how do I get out of this position that I'm in? And, you know, we've all been there, right? And we've seen other people there. What is the world doing? They're just trying to figure out how to just make it. God says you keep your mind on him, he'll give you perfect peace. How can he give you perfect peace? Because it's the knowledge of what the things that he said, like we see in John 16, 33, and those things that he said told us what he was going to do for us. What did he say in Matthew 7? He told us that he was going to do all these things for us. Or was it Matthew 6? Praise the Lord. Matthew 6, he tells us, yeah, like around verse 24, he says, don't worry. He said, I'm going to take care of it all. I want to give it to God. Like, listen, he's like, praise the Lord. He's like, God wants to do it all. He wants to take care of you completely. Just trust him. Just put your trust in him. And see, when your focus is not there, it's not there. It's not with him. And then that's why we're not in peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So that's good. Praise the Lord. That's good. He said, I have overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome. And see, we hear these. Again, we hear these things and we think, all right, Jesus has overcome the world, but I'm not seeing the overcoming. And it's because your mind's not in the right place. See, if your mind was on him, your mind would see the overcoming. It would see it every step of the way. You know, the devil gets us tricked into thinking some stupid things. And one of those things is that we sit there, whatever situation we're in, this is the worst. This is the worst it's been. I don't know, like, where's God working here? Praise the Lord. Will you look back on the last few years since you've been starting to come to church? You've been taught the word. Has anything changed? I know it has for me. I know it has for a lot of other people. I know that if it's not, it's not God's fault. It's probably yours. Amen. It's about how we connect to the word. It's how we connect to God. It's how we connect to his work. Praise the Lord. But I know this. I've seen God work. I've seen God bail people out over and over. In fact, as a pastor, I see it all the time. I see people come in and they get one little victory and one little victory, one little victory that's soon forgotten sometimes when another trial comes around. Oh, it's the worst. That he never comes through. It never happens. You know, my wife and I used to say, we're like, you know, one of the things is like, you know, when we first, you know, we were coming to church and we were tithing and we were giving and we were serving, we're doing all the things we're told to do as much as we could, as much as we knew to. You know, I didn't say we did it perfectly, but we were doing as much as we knew to, just like all you are, right? Praise the Lord. And so we were striving after these things and we were, when we first started coming to church, we were dirt poor. I mean, we were reaching up to touch bottom as far as poverty goes. We were at a place. I mean, we had a little one-bedroom apartment, and we couldn't afford to heat it. Praise the Lord, we had a little electric space heater because we couldn't afford to pay the gas bill off that was racked up from before. And you know, I mean, there's just some serious things, right? We had two broken-down vehicles that were paid for, but thank God they were paid for because we couldn't afford a payment on them. You know what I mean? This is where we were, and we. You know, there was times, I mean, we would come to like Christmas time, we want to give gifts to our children and stuff like that. And we'd be like, we don't, you know, we'd be frustrated because we didn't have the finances or the ability to. And, you know, I remember being frustrated and be like, we preach about tithing and we're doing it, preach about giving. And you do it, and we do it. Where is the fullness coming? Well, see, it doesn't all come out overnight. God works things into us, but I'm going to tell you, it's come. And as we've looked back over the past, how long have we been in the church? For 14, 13 years? 13 years that we've been here. I mean, where we've come from and where we are, it's worlds different, amen? It's because God, because when you learn, when you, you know, and this is the wonderful thing, is you ain't got to be perfect about it. That's what I love about God is like, he knows that sometimes we're idiots, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But God is good, and he's faithful. He says, try it a little bit, you know, and he'll be good. Amen. So turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. But we want to live in perfect peace, right? Isn't this what the world is after? Isn't this what we're after? Praise the Lord. 2 Peter is after 1 Peter. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1:2. It's an easy way to find it. You find 1 Peter, you're set. Hallelujah. You just go on to 2 Peter. Hallelujah. I should teach some kind of Bible class or something, like some kind of Bible learning class. Amen. Praise God. 1:2, we're going to read through all the way through verse 4. Glory to God. I know we're bringing. It says here, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Glory to God. I think that deserved more than just a few amens. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know, grace is God's ability, right? You knew that, right? I knew you knew that because you're taught. Well, grace is God's ability. Praise the Lord. And peace, we know what peace is. He's saying, be multiplied unto you. Amen? Now, I love this, and I brought this up in my church, but I love this. You know, could have said added. Could have said added, but he didn't say added. He said multiplied. See, God's desire is that grace and peace, his ability for you to do whatever you're called to do, amen, and his peace while you're doing it, that's that place of, you know what I mean? Remember, I don't know why I thought about it. You remember those Calgon commercials? Remember that Calgon, take me away, somebody in a bath, you know what I mean? I know I thought about it, but that's what I thought about. That's what it is. That's like, everything's taken care of. Here's all the ability, and now I'm going to sit back in my tub, and I'm going to relax, and glory to God. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. Be multiplied unto you. Amen. Oh, glory to God. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we see this, a grace and peace, where is it multiplied? It's multiplied in the knowledge, that's the understanding of God, who he is, what he does, what he wants to do, what he's going to do, what he said about you, what he said about your friends, what he said about your neighbors, what he said about your pastor, what he said about your church, what he said about your country, what he said about everything that you're gonna face. Hallelujah. That's involved in the knowledge of God. And Jesus, the one who paid for it all, to ensure, because you couldn't, you remember, because you couldn't do it, right? And see, that's, again, this is where the problem is because when people get upset, their focus is on what they can't do or where they can't go or how high they can't climb. And the whole time, Jesus said, I did it all. I already got you there. I already paved the way. I made it possible for you. Here's the grace to be able to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, people are looking for the grace. The grace is found in the knowledge of God. It's when you see, and this is where keeping your mind stayed on the Lord matters. Because when you're dealing with that thing, it's like, oh no, I got to take it back, put it on him. Here's the stuff. No, take it back, put it on him. Devil says, here's something else to distract you. Here's something else that'll keep you busy looking at. Amen. Here's something else to keep you busy all wrapped up in. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, Pastor, I can't do this because I just, here you go, here you go, here's more. There's always going to be stuff. I'm going to tell you. I have lived 42 years. I know that's not a long time in some comparison to some, but it is in comparison to others. But in 42 years, I've never found a lack of something to do. Never. There's always been something else to do. There's been always something else to worry about. There's always been something else to strive after or to get into strife about or to get mad about or to just lose. There's always something else. Have you not learned that? Amen? But you have. I know you have because you're right there with me, right? Amen? Glory to God. It's found, the grace and the peace. You'll see, we're looking for it. We're saying, where is it, God? He says, get in my presence. Get in the knowledge of me. Understand who I am. Understand what I've said. No, truly understand it. When Jesus said we're going to the other side, there's still a storm in the middle. The storm was still there. You can't change the fact that the storm's coming. Jesus told us that. He promised us that. He said it's going to happen. It's not a lack of faith. It's just going to happen because there's an enemy that's trying to rob you from what I gave you. And the only one that can keep you from getting into it is you. So just follow me. Get in the peace. Get in the grace. Find out what I'm really talking about. Comes through the knowledge of him, keeping your mind stayed on him. You forget about you and what you can't do. You put the knowledge back on what he promised. This is what we do, and I know it's hard. In the moment, sometimes it's hard. But that's okay, because it's hard to deal with the problem too, isn't it? You know, this is the thing we think about. We think about, I've been through this so many times, maybe even this week. Sometimes it's hard, Lord, to go through this. It's hard to confess this over and over and over 15,000 times if that's what I need to do. It's hard to do it. Yes, but it's hard to go through the trial too. It's hard to go without. How do I know? I've been without. I know what it's like to not have enough. Amen? When my wife and I first got together, we get the boys. We had to take them over to my mom's house when I had them because that's the only way I could afford to feed them. I didn't have an apartment that was worthy, that you would want to bring two kids into, first of all. And I didn't have food to even feed them or to take care of them. This is where we were at. Praise the Lord. But God is faithful. I ain't got no more education than I did before. Well, I mean, I got spiritual education, but not like worldly education. Amen. Amen. I mean, people aren't knocking on my door saying, hey, you be CEO of our company. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have those skills. Hallelujah. But see, what I got from God. Amen. And that's the thing that exalts us. And see, it doesn't matter whether we're a pastor or not. It doesn't matter whether we're a toilet cleaner or not. It doesn't matter what we'll do with a lawnmower or not. Just it matters what we're doing, what God wants us to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, why does it, I know that these scriptures are all important that I get to, but I just don't think I'm going to get to all of them. That may be a bad faith confession. I change that. I'll get to all of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, now we're going to start reading fast. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our, Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us. Amen. Who's us? I'll sign up for that us. I want to be on that boat. Amen. Praise the Lord. His divine power has given to us. Has given to us. Has given to us. Has. That's past tense. It has. It's already yours. You're already there. You can't get it anymore. You get on your knees and you're pleading with God. God, please bring this to me. He said, I already did it. I already gave it. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. I can't give you any more of it because it's all yours now. Amen. You understand? You see, this is the thing. God has given us all things. Hallelujah. All things. He didn't say some things. He said all things. Glory to God. He said all things. Hallelujah. This excites me. This stirs me up. This makes me want to run. Hallelujah. This makes me want to dance. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything he's called me into, that would cover the godliness. And everything I live in, that would cover life. Hallelujah. He's given me all things for that. Everything I need, it's there. It's all waiting for me to walk in and take it. Hallelujah. It's just waiting for me to go. Guess what? It's waiting for you to go, too. I said it's waiting for you, too. Amen? Glory to God. You heard about that Bible? You heard about that Bible down south? Pastor probably talked about it. That oil-soaked Bible, the one that keeps producing oil. Lying signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. I don't need no oil-soaked Bible. I got a soaked Bible right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. Think about that if you ever want to carry my Bible. Just get out the rubber glove first. All right, praise the Lord. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us. Here's that word us again. Praise the Lord. You signed up with me. Exceedingly great and precious promises that... There's a reason for the promise. The promise was not to dangle over you and say, hey, look at, like, if you jump high enough, you can grab it. That's not what the promise was for. Amen? That, they got to find out where it was, that through these promises, you may be partakers, that's a partaker, of the divine nature. He wants you to partake of his divine nature. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I suck as a human. But I'll tell you something. I am good with Christ, hallelujah. I am a partaker of the divine. You told me I can't say that word, right? Pastor Tim, I'm sorry. Praise God, hallelujah. I had to remind God many times. I'm like, you called me. I didn't call me. You know what I mean? And you didn't change this, hallelujah. Maybe this is not faith, but he hadn't changed everything yet. We've got to get caught up to the grace. Amen. Partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's the corruption? It's everything that we're saved from. That's what salvation is. Salvation wasn't just so you go to heaven. Praise God for going to heaven. And everyone glad they're going to heaven. Heaven's good. Let's get there. Hallelujah. But let's get there at the right time. But let's do what we have to do here. And we need the salvation here. We need salvation from the corruption here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. It's pretty good direction right there. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I love that. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace is the thing that we're after. Peace is the direction of God. Peace is the understanding that you're okay. Peace is that place where I can go. I know I can because God has called me to this. Amen. And it's knowing that God, what God has called you to. Praise the Lord. Seek peace and pursue it. See, people are seeking, they're seeking answers for their problems. They're seeking answers for the dilemmas. They're seeking answers for the attack. He didn't say seek the answers for that. He said seek peace and pursue it. I'll fix all that. I'll take care of it. You know, I think back in the book of Numbers, it tells us that the Lord, he says, you be silent, the Lord will fight for you. He said, hold your peace, actually, as I love it. Just like sit back, relax, hold your peace. I'll fight for you. I'm going to do the fight. You ain't got to do this. Ain't your battle, kid. But see, that's a problem, is that we're trying to battle God's battle. That's why a lot of times we ain't winning, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Genesis, where am I at on time? I don't know. We're doing good. Okay, praise the Lord. Warn me when I'm getting close. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Praise the Lord. I go here often. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Praise the Lord. 1:26 is 26 verses into the first book of the Bible. I'm just helping you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I go from one end of the Bible back to the other. I get lost in the middle sometimes. You know what I mean? But it's all right. We'll get there. Amen. 1:26 to 28. Look at this. This is important because this talks about how God made us. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, he created them male and female. This is not claiming that God is a he, she. This is saying that he created men and women to resemble their heavenly Father. Hallelujah. This is important. We'll get there. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wouldn't dominion over everything be complete dominion in life? But see, if you're not experiencing complete dominion in life, then something seems off a little bit there. And this is a lot of times, it's because where our mindset is. I would say all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you have complete dominion over life, if you've been given dominion over everything, then why, child of God, are you living trial to trial? Why are you living from one trial to the next? Do you ever feel that way? Just one trial to the next. Why are you living that way? God ain't God's design. He designed you with dominion. He designed you with the ability. Why are you living trial to trial? Something's off in the equation there. And again, it's not on his end because the dominion didn't change. I love Malachi, the book of Malachi 3:6. Praise the Lord. I am. What does he say there? I am the Lord. I do not change. Right? He didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His plan then was the same plan now. Amen? Glory to God. So this is the thing we have to understand is whether male or female, we were created in his image. I love that it says that there. Because here again, you know, old religion tried to take away from females or tried to push females down. But he said, male and female, you were both created in the image and likeness of God. So what's important is to understand that, those words image and likeness. Amen? I put it like this. This is the kind of the direction I got out of this. Image is your heritage. Our image is a reminder of what we belong to. For example, my children all resemble me. There's all things, you know. If you look at my pinky and you look at my grandma's pinky, the same shape. Amen? That's my heritage. You can say I was in her image. Amen? They're in my image. Amen? It reminds us of our heritage. Reminds us of where we came from. We are created in God's image. That means something. That should mean something to us. If we're created in his image, we have to hearken back to our heritage. We have to figure out, wait a minute here. Something's off, something's not right. It doesn't seem right. I know it's not right. We know according to the word it's not right. What is the image of the one who created us? The one who created us has no lack. The one who created us has no trial. The one who created us has no problem. That's our heritage, amen? There's a reason we're created in his image and his likeness, amen? The likeness part is how he operates. It's the same as how he operates, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. If you had a Ford truck or a Dodge truck, Praise the Lord. If you had one of those two things, they're both trucks. They both have different heritages, right? They come from different lines, but they generally the same function. Amen. Although some would argue that, but praise the Lord, we're not going to get into that now. Praise God. So we understand this, that there's a heritage that we have in heaven. There's a heritage from our Father. It was given to us before at the creation of all of everything. When he created humans, he put his image, our heritage in us, so we could remind ourselves, so we could hearken back to that. Wait, but see, the thing is sometime along the line, the devil got in there, right? And he made people forget about who they were. That's why there's so many people that aren't serving God, because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they were created to be. They don't understand that. Praise the Lord. And this is why it's important that churches continue to push and tell people who they are and how God created us, because we need to see it. But see, here's the thing. If our mind is stayed on the things, and this is part of the deal, if our mind is stayed on the things of life, then they're not stayed on that heritage. We don't understand. We can't understand. And that's why we don't have the victory. That's why we don't see the victory. We don't feel the victory, because our minds are completely, like, you could be in the middle of the victory, but if you're still looking at the battle, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, imagine that. Praise the Lord. But if you're in the middle of you're standing in the victory, you have the winning, you know, everybody's shouting, jumping around, and you're looking at the team and you're identifying with the team that's defeated, that's laying on the ground, that's not going anywhere. See, this is why our focus is so important, and this is where the peace gets robbed. The devil wants to rob your peace. His main goal is to take your peace. You want your peace, don't you? I want my peace. I don't want the devil to take it. In fact, he's taken enough from me. I don't think I want to give him anything else. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to keep my peace, and you're going to keep your peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, so now I want to go to, we're moving along pretty well here. I want to go down to 1 John. Praise the Lord. First John. And we're going to go to verse 4. Praise God, hallelujah. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. That's an important statement right there. Maybe the most important statement we'll ever hear. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You know, that word abides, it's an active word. It's something that we choose to do. You live in the house you live in. You chose that house. You chose to move there, the town, whatever. You may say, well, I didn't really choose, but you do. Because you can get up and walk, amen? You choose, you know, and it's the same thing with the things of God. We choose whether or not we abide in them or not. We choose whether or not we abide in his word. You remember John 8:31-32? Jesus told us if we abide in his word, we are his disciples indeed, and we shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It makes us free. What does it make us free from? It makes us free from all the trials, all the things. Because the truth tells us that the truth is what you're getting tonight. The truth tells us that you ain't got to focus on that anymore. The truth says, actually, you're wrong if you focus on that. The truth tells you, wait a minute, that's not your focus at all. It's like, if we could think about this, looking at the trials like looking at pornography. Just think about it that way. You wouldn't look at that, so don't look at the trial either. Why? Because it's just as evil. Why? Because it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. The same devil that gave us trials, the same devil that gave us pornography or anything else. Amen? We're not going to look on those things. You know how the Bible says, how does a young man cleanse his way? Praise the Lord. How does he do it? Someone finish that for me. Giving heed according to his word, to keep their mind in the word, to keep their eyes on the word, to look at the word, to keep your focus on the word. That's how you keep yourself from those things, amen? It's not looking at the thing. You know, there's lots of things that distract us. There's lots of things that will pull our attention, amen? There's lots of things that are vying for that. Why? Because the devil has set it up that way. Glory to God. I love technology. I don't know really much about it, but I love it. But it can be a problem, can't it? We're seeing that. It's an issue more and more that people are distracted. We're seeing that people can't even look up. I've been caught up into this myself. I understand. We're caught up in all the images and the, you know, the beeps and the and all the things, all the things that are going on. We're caught up into that. The getting caught up in it is a distraction. The devil is trying to rob from us. He's trying to keep us from the Word of God. Amen. I remember, you know, this morning, I just decided this morning when I woke up, one of the first things I do when I wake up every morning is look at the news. One of the first things. And I usually don't read all the articles. I just look at the headlines kind of thing, just to see what's going on. And then sometimes maybe I'll watch a news video clip or something like that, you know, just to keep my mind sharp. Well, this morning I decided not to do that. And you know, inside, as I woke up, like everything in me was like, well, I need it. I need it. I need to get that fix. I need to, you know what I mean? It's a distraction pulling me away it's trying to pull me into other things. Have you ever been caught up into a long period of just maybe binge watching or something like that? Praise the Lord. I know I'm not the only one, but maybe I am in this church. Glory to God, but I don't think I'm the only one. You know, you get caught up into that. You watch, you know, 20 episodes. You know, you finish a whole season of a show. You finish a whole series of a show in like 3 nights or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just speaking where we're at, I think, but you know, that's the thing. That's the devil's distraction, trying to get us to stop and to keep it. And what if we did that with the Word? And I'm not trying to get legalistic. Like, we don't have to. Like, God gave us His life to enjoy it too. You know, you're allowed to enjoy things. You're allowed to have a nice things. You're allowed to watch a movie. Praise the Lord. You know, you're allowed to. You're allowed to experience the world. I mean, He didn't make it so beautiful so we have to hide from it. Glory to God. He didn't make it so beautiful, so we, you know what I mean? Like it's amazing to me how many people get religious minded and think that. But we're not supposed to get consumed with it either. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go back to the scripture here. We were at 16? All right. It goes on to say in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. That would do us some good to meditate on that for a while. As He is, so are we in this world. Oh, but God wants you broken. He wants you defeated. You see, that it just doesn't make sense when you read the scripture. But again, you have to keep your mind stayed on that. Amen? Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff to chew on here. There's a lot of stuff to look at here. It says, perfect love casts out fear. What are these things? What does not knowing anything do to you? It creates a level of fear, doesn't it? Anxiety, it's fear. It creates a level in you of like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how I'm going. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know all these things. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the other side is going to. Yes, you do. It's going to be blessed. How do we know? Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that the end is blessed if we're in his path. So let's get in His path. Amen? Hallelujah. But see, where did I want to go here? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. See, this flies in the face of all those things that religion has told us. All these things that God is trying to remove from you, or God gives and takes away, and all this stuff. I mean, I pounce on this stuff all the time because I just can't stand it that much. That somebody would twist the Word of God, this wonderful thing. He said, if I keep my mind stayed on Him, if I keep my mind in His Word, that I'm going to be set free. This is how I'm going to conquer everything. This is how I'm going to get over sin. This is how I'm going to get over trial. This is how I'm going to get over anxiety and all these things. And then somebody comes along, they want to twist the Word to make it sound like God doesn't love you no more. Because a God who destroys us, a God who is against us, a God who's trying to keep us back, is a God, according to that scripture, that would not love us. We don't understand love if that's the case. And that's where a lot of people are. See, I used to go to this. I don't know if you've been there with me, but I used to go to this all the time. I'd screw up, and I'd think instantly, God's coming after me. Oh, this must be punishment. Something would happen. This must be punishment for sin. God is not trying to punish us for everything. Praise the Lord, He's trying to set us free. That's why He sent Jesus to set us free. Hallelujah. That's why He says He wants to keep us in perfect peace. He didn't mince words there. He said, I will keep him, you will keep him in perfect peace. You, God, will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, who continually goes before God, who keeps their mind there. Get set free in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, fear involves torment. Not knowing, not understanding, not feeling like you measure up. All these things are fear. And the Bible says that you don't understand your God, because God is love. You have not been made perfect in love. If this is where you're at, if you're in fear, that's a heavy statement. If you're in fear, you don't understand God. Not knowing, I'm going to go back to that. Just not knowing is a form of fear. Any anxiety is a form of fear. All these things, these little things that we think are not big deals, but these are fear, and we need to deal with it. We need to stop it in its tracks, because it's not of God, and if we don't, we can't be perfect in Him. God wants us in perfect peace. The reason you're not in perfect peace is because you're focused on the wrong thing. You got to focus on God. You got to focus on His Word. You got to focus on His love. You got to focus on His victory. You got to focus on the promise. You got to focus on all the things He's given us, so you can go to the other side. Those who go to the other side are the ones that do. Amen. But not do so perfectly. And that's what I love. Again, I bring that up a lot because God deals with me. I mean, my Lord, I go before God all the time. And knowing how imperfect I am. I know my stuff. I ask God all the time, God, why did you pick me to go out? Why did you use me? I'm not the one who is the most educated. I hear these other ministers speak, and I think, dear Jesus, if I could just sound like them, then maybe I could help somebody. I'm telling you the way that it is. I'm telling you the way, because when you know how vile you are, praise the Lord, that's where I come from. But see, God doesn't care about any of that. And see, if I kept myself, if I just stayed there all the time, if I constantly looked at what I'm not able to do, if I constantly looked at how I don't measure up, I would never be any, I'd never go anywhere. I'd never be able to pastor. Hallelujah. I look at sometimes when I'm in and I'm thinking, how'd I get here? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you know, there's other people look at me sometimes and say, how did he get there? Praise God. Hallelujah. And then they look at my wife and say, it must have been her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it probably was. All right. Okay. So we got, we have to practice. This is good. We have to practice being in peace. We have to practice it. How do you get better at something? If you want to be in a sport, you don't just go out there for the first time. These football teams that are out there, praise God for football teams. But when they're out there, that's not the first time they ever got on a field. They practice and practice and practice. If you want to be in perfect peace, you're going to need to practice. Why? Because you got to bring yourself to that place. You got to keep taking yourself there. So you got to practice peace. What are you going to do? Sometimes you're just going to lay down. Sometimes that's what it's going to be. Sometimes you're going to be, there's 10,000 things to do. Sometimes you're going to stop, lay down, and just say, Lord, you're good. God, you're good. Praise the Lord. You're going to practice being in peace. We have to put it to practice. We have to do it, or we're never going. We're never going to get there. See, and that's what people don't understand, is they're waiting for God to move them in peace. He gave you all the tools. He gave you all the direction. He gave you all the ability to be in peace. But He said, you got to move. You got to move. It's just like salvation. Isn't Romans 10, 9 and 10, doesn't it tell us that? Basically, all things we obtain are the same way we obtain salvation. We have to just agree with it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this came to me as I was preparing this. You only grow what you give attention to. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've been getting lots of attention to carbs lately. Praise the Lord. And so I'm growing the things that carbs grow. Just telling you the truth. How do I know what carbs are? Somebody told me what carbs are, and I'm like, yep, that's a carb. I can tell you by taste that it's a carb, amen? I know what it's doing going down, but I just love them buggers so much. Carbs are good. Praise the Lord. Whatever you give attention to, that's what you're going to grow. 1 Peter 5:7. Am I still doing okay on time? Okay, 1 Peter 5:7. Praise the Lord. You know, just like last week, I preached my longest sermon ever. I could have kept going, but I stopped at an hour and a half. Whoo! Glory, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you're preaching an hour and a half and you want to keep going. There's something in that. We were just in Massachusetts. We visited George Whitfield's grave. If you don't know who he is, do a little research. Awesome man of God. Integral to even the founding of our country in the First Great Awakening. Did wonderful things and preached 18,000 sermons in his life. Hallelujah. In case you don't know what that is, I figured it out. It's somewhere around 9 sermons a week. Now, here's the thing. Here's the stickler. They were telling us he went on a tour of the church that he founded. He's buried under the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Still serving God today. There's a good church. It's a really awesome church. Preached a good message. Felt right at home. Except for all the, you know, the rituals and stuff like that, you know. But they were good people and a good message. But at any rate, the guide was telling us this man preached 2 to 3 hour sermons. And they said if he went short, people felt jilted. They were mad. They got pew boxes in this church. You know what a pew box is? A pew box is a box built around your pew. And your family has a pew, and you would go to this box, and they'd have all kinds of, yeah, it's like your living room. If you could be there for a while. That's just the way it was. And so you go in there, and you have all things, and they would have these little things they put over you, and they have a little heater they put in it, because it was cold in New England. You know what I mean? Like cold like here, but they didn't have heat in those days. So they came around with little, coals and put them in there. Praise. Two and a half, 3 hours. And they loved it. People would knock on his door. The night he died, at midnight, he was preaching his last sermon out of a window of the house that he died in. Died at 56 years old. Praise the Lord. You can't go like that. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7. But, hour and a half. I went an hour and a half, so I'm trying to make George proud. Glory to God. But I ain't going to try to make him proud tonight. I'm going to try to make Pastor Tim proud tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I don't know what I'd do without my pastor. Still in my life, oh my God, you don't ever disconnect from the man or woman God put you with. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Look what it goes on to say in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We could come to the conclusion that because these two scriptures are together, there's probably some context going on here. How is the devil going to destroy you? One of the greatest ways he does is through your care. It's what you care about. Because your care, I got to care about this. And I got no. What you got to do is follow the Lord. What you got to do is be in peace. What you got to do is put yourself in that place of peace. You ain't got to care about nothing. Nothing. He said, cast your care. It ain't yours. God told us. He gave you license. Get rid of it. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever your trial is, he gave you license. Right here, this is your license. You just write this down. Maybe you need to make a little card and say, this is my license. Praise the Lord. Put it in your wallet. Carry it around. When the devil pulls it, you just pull out your license. Say, no. Nope. Praise the Lord. This is my license to cast it. This is my right. Amen. Put a little badge on there too. Glory to God. You know what I mean? A little star thing. Get all like Texas Ranger or something like that. You know? Cowboy like. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. See, this is seeking whom he may devour. He isn't going to come to you clearly. He's going to sneak in by your affections. He's going to sneak in by the things that draw you. He knows. He's been watching you. He's got demons. You know, these people don't like to hear this, but the devil has demons that watch you. They watch your every move. They want to know how you operate and what you do. And the reason they do that is, and they've watched your family for generations, because they know those things that are going to be passed down from generation to generation. And they're going to say, here, you just have some more of this. You just have some more of this. And they're going to give you all the reason in the world to dwell on it. Be sober. Be vigilant. You got to be vigilant. You got to watch it. You say, well, I get tired of watching it. Well, guess what? You get tired of the trial too. He's going to bring it at you. He's going to keep bringing it at you. And he's going to keep reminding you. But that's why you have to keep casting it. Casting it is something that takes practice. It's something that you do. You know, a fisherman, when they learn to cast, they're really good. Praise the Lord. Sometimes they're not so good when they first start out. But after they practice and they keep doing it, you see those people out there? You see a fly fisherman people? Out there casting it. Praise the Lord. You ever tried to do that? Get hung up in the tree and get everything. But no, these people are out there. They're doing it good. Amen. Well, how do they do it? They do it by practice. Praise the Lord. Resist him. How do you resist him? You resist the care. Because the care is fear. You're not perfect in love if you're in care, if you're in worry, if you're all wrapped up in your mind, if you're just, I don't know. Yes, you do. You know. You have the mind of Christ. You know all things. Glory to God. You know. You got the Holy Spirit. In case you didn't know, you got the Holy Spirit. Who does know? I love that because, again, praise the Lord. You know, I'm a high school dropout. Praise the Lord. Went back, got my good enough diploma. That's a GED, in case you didn't know. Praise the Lord. So I'm not real smart on my own. I don't got a lot of knowledge the way I should have knowledge, or the way I could have had knowledge, the way my kids will have knowledge. But I tell you what I do got the Holy Ghost. I have him too, amen. I got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. I take him with me everywhere. Kids, don't drop out of high school. Amen. Praise the Lord. But even if you do, or if you did, God will still meet you. He'll still help you. Amen. But don't do it. Amen. Because it's better that you don't, you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Believe me, I understand. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Amen. If you despise something enough, you will cast it away. People who hold on to their stuff are people who don't despise it enough. I'm just telling you the truth. The Lord revealed this to me, and I know that it's true because I know how it is. Sometimes you like your misery. Sometimes you like the things that... Sometimes we like to complain, don't we? You like your stuff. The reason you still got it is because you ain't cast it yet. You don't hate it enough. You know, I was thinking about a good steak when I was thinking about this. You know, good steak, good prime rib. Anybody like prime rib? Yeah, I love prime rib. You know, nice medium rare prime rib with some au jus. Pour it on all over the plate. No bread to sop it up. You just leave that soaking right there and you dip. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to tell you something. You bring one of them prime ribs to my wife, she's going to cast that thing. Why? Because she despises it. My wife don't eat meat. She don't like meat. Amen? And it's not because she's weak. She doesn't like meat because she doesn't like meat. And that's all you need to know about it. She just doesn't like it. Amen? And you ain't got to worry about it. But the thing is she goes her own way. She doesn't like meat and she casts it away. She doesn't want anything to do with it. Amen? We need to start doing the same thing with the things that we say we don't want. We got to think soberly. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. Think soberly about yourself. Do you really want to get rid of this? Or do you want to complain about it some more? Do you really want to be rid of this sickness? Or do you want some more people to come up and pat you on the back? Do you want somebody else to, you know, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right because you want the attention. Oh, we see a lot of that right now with social media, don't we? A lot of people out there getting attention. No, because you got to have everybody else tell you how beautiful you look. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I started taking selfies as a joke. I ain't joking. I started taking selfies as a joke. All of a sudden, I realized I got a selfie folder in my phone. I looked, I got a lot of selfies. But I ain't doing it because I want people to tell me how good I look. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You could have at least said amen. I would have. Praise the Lord. Well, usually, you know, you're making some kind of funny face or something, but there's people that are just like, they're so wrapped up in what other people think and all this stuff. They want that attention. And so people, really, I've seen this over the years. I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen it too, where sickness becomes an attention getter. Oh, it's something that I know people will rally around me and they'll support. We've seen people in the church like this. People that come in and they're basically invalids in the sense that they can't do anything for themselves. And they come to you and they give you the sob story. Oh, we've had it before. They come up to you, they give you the sob story about how bad things are. I mean, if I could tell you how many people we've had come in and if you just give us some money, if you just help me out, I'm about to lose everything. They want that. I'm not saying that everybody who's in need wants that. But I've seen that, and each time I said, you know what? I know your story, and I know the fix to your story. It's called the Word of God, and I know how to help you. And if you come along with me, if you listen to what I'm telling you, if you start putting to practice in a year from now, you won't recognize your life. How do I know? Because that's what happened to me. Do you realize that I was so mentally disturbed that I was put into mental institutions? Do you understand that? That they had me, at one time I took antipsychotic medicine. Antidepressants all the time. I was constantly filled in. Sometimes I was a zombie because the way I don't live that way no more. Why? Because the Word set me free. I said the Word set me free. And it was just sitting under the Word. It's because I gave attention to the Word. It's because I came to church and I wanted more of the Word. That's how I got set free. Praise the Lord. See, the devil, I remember one time, I thought I was schizophrenic. I was hearing voices. Praise the Lord. I hear voices now, but they're good voices. I promise. How do we know? Well, the fruit's good, amen. The fruit wasn't good before. The fruit before ended up with a gun in my mouth. The fruit today, well, praise the Lord, I've come out blasting. Hallelujah, glory to God. God wants us free, amen. If you despise something enough, you will cast it away. Amen. Do I got time for one more? Do I make, okay, put somewhere in the, good. Okay, turn with me to Luke 5. Now, I wanted to get here because this is a really awesome, you know, because all of this revolves around trusting God. You know that, like if you don't truly trust God, if you don't trust His Word, then none of this is going to mean a whole lot to you. Because the only way we can be in peace is to completely and wholeheartedly trust God. Luke 5 and verse 1. I love this account. I love that I have a pastor who contended for me, that contended with me, that stayed with me, that didn't give up on me. Amen? Praise the Lord. He didn't give up on me. I'm sure it would have been easy to. I'm sure there was times he wanted. He told me there was times he wanted. but he didn't, because he's a man of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we see Luke 5:1. It says, "So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." That's a pretty big service, amen? Glory to God. "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" I want to stop here for a second, because there's a lot in this verse here. A lot of exciting things in this verse. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night." I've tried it. You know, when I came into the church for the first time, this church, family church, I was just about done with churches. I was giving it that one more try. It was like, you know what? I know that there's a God, and I believe that He's good. I believe this Bible. I don't know it. I don't understand it, but I believe that there's got to be more. And so we started coming to this church, giving it that one more try. You know, and that's sometimes it's like, you know, we have tried it, we have tried it, we have tried it. But you understand, with God, there's always a way. With God, there's always an answer. And this is the most important thing that we can understand, is that we need to trust God to that point, that no matter what it's looked like before, no matter what's come at us before, that we have to stay in that place of, "Lord, I trust you. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it." You know, sometimes people don't see healing instantly when hands are laid on them. And sometimes there's many reasons, and sometimes you don't know all the reasons. But this is one thing I'm going to tell you. You keep coming back to the Word. Yeah. Why? Because at some point, you understand. And I'm not saying that God's withholding, because God's not withholding. Sometimes there's lots of reasons why something cannot happen. We did the same thing with healing. We've done it with giving. We've done it with all the things that you can be asked to do in a church. All those things that our faith is built around. There's times where it just seems like, but nevertheless, it's your word. Hallelujah. See, and this is why it's so important to keep your mind stayed on God. And the way that you're going to keep your mind stayed on God is keeping it in the Word. Amen? "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink." Praise the Lord. So see, God is trying to take us somewhere. He wants us to get in the fullness of His blessing. That's His plan. But we have to be obedient to His word. You know, I liken it to this. Imagine paying for college, paying big money to go to a seminar or something like that, where a training seminar. Imagine paying lots of money to go do that. And then you go to the seminar, you sit there, and the whole time you're like, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to try that." It's the same thing that people do when they come to church, and they reject, because it rubs them wrong, because it's something, "Oh, I've done this before. I thought, you know, whatever, you had your thoughts before, whatever, you had your way. You know, I had a church back here, and we did it this way." I've seen this a lot, too. People want to do church the way that, but it didn't work then. It didn't work then. But see, there is a way, and God will lead us that way. He wants us to get, but our mind has to stay on Him. We have to be people that aren't just willing to cast it. You know, we got to cast something, but it isn't the Word of God, amen? We need to keep the Word of God before us. I'm going to finish here, and I want to say this before I go on. You should be moved by God's Word, and only God's Word. God's Word is the thing that moves us. The trial doesn't move us. The onslaught doesn't move us. The enemy doesn't move us. The things that he could throw at us, whatever it is, however you want to look at it, you can try to figure it all out. You know where your area is in your life. It's not going to move you. You only are moved by God's word. I'm only going to be moved into by God's word, because when you're moved by God's word, you get moved into the catch. Amen. You get moved into the blessing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Isaiah 26:4. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." God's strength is what we need. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is everlasting strength. We need to keep our focus. Great peace. Peace is the open door to everything. The Bible says again that we are led, that the Holy Spirit will lead us by the peace. We need to stay in that place of peace so we hear correctly. And when we do, all the trials, they'll become less and less important to us. As you still face trials, but you'll face them like Jesus did. You'll walk on water. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you bless us with. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for your grace and your ability. We thank you for your peace, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, as we leave this message, that there's something in here that would rest on every single person that came tonight. Lord, I pray that your peace, that you make your peace known to them. And that, Lord, you make clear. Your word says, and these are scriptures, Lord, I always come to you with, but your word says that a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. Order our steps, Heavenly Father, towards the things of peace. Show us which way we'll go. And Lord, you know that we're not going to be perfect. We recognize that we're not going to be perfect. But Lord, we are after you. We are after you with our whole hearts. And we know we're going to see the fruition. We are going to see the fruit of everything that you have for us. God, I believe that about the family churches. And so I pray for these precious people of yours as they go, as they leave here tonight, Lord, that they sleep in peace. Just like your Bible says, your word says in Psalms, that I lay down and slept in peace. For the Lord was watching over me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You watch over us. We thank you, Lord, for what you've shown me. Even the things you were showing me today that I didn't get into, but I praise you for them. Lord, your word says that you are Jehovah Shammah, the present, the one who is present, that you are ever present. And Lord, I pray that each person in here would know the presence, your presence, in such a way that is undeniable, Lord, and that they just draw in more and more and more and praise you for it. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, nobody looking around. I don't know everybody here tonight. Maybe everybody here is a family group. I don't know. But I know this, that I don't want to ever preach a message without giving an opportunity for salvation. Salvation, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is the first and most important thing that you can ever do. Even if you go to any church, it doesn't matter what you learn in the church. But salvation is what we're after. And so if you have never been saved, if you have never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to today, we're not going to call you up front. We'll just have you raise your hand. We'll all pray a prayer together. I'll have you put it right back down. So if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Well, Lord, for some reason, there's somebody either by the sound of my voice here or somebody on live stream, Lord, somebody is listening that isn't saved, Lord. We pray for laborers in their path. We pray they don't leave this earth until they receive salvation. God, and we will be the laborers. We're going to show them your peace. Take us to the world, Lord. Show us how to do it better. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And there is an offering to take up. You want me to take it up or? It's not for me. Praise the Lord. It's for the church. Glory to God. We're excited. We're gonna give tonight. Amen. We're going to give with joy because God loves a joyful, prompt to do it, cheerful giver. Praise the Lord. And I know that this church is full of them. Praise the Lord. You know, you never get bored with giving. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. I keep asking the Lord, give me more seed. Give me more seed. Because I want to sow some more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because a generous soul shall be watered. Praise the Lord. You all got your offering hold up before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. Lord, I thank you that this offering, Lord, is going to do exactly what you intend it for. Lord, that it goes out and produces great harvest in the lives of the people that are touched through it. Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you that you supply all our needs. The church is fully funded and fully supplied. Pastor is fully funded and fully supplied. We worship you and praise you in Jesus' name. Brothers, you can serve the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Giving is such a wonderful thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't it exciting to be part of a good church? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to leave it there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Always such a privilege and an honor to have you minister. We got our help. Glory to God. We got our homework, too. I like how you say that we have to practice peace. That means day in, day out. I mean, you know, obviously, we look at the Buffalo Bills, and maybe they could use a little bit more practice. But I do understand that any professional team or any successful athlete, they don't practice like once a month or twice a month. It's a day in, day out. You know, you never want to go into a trial. Well, I practiced 2 months ago. You know, I spoke the word 2 months ago. You know, yeah, but you need to, on a daily basis, release your faith to stay in peace. Amen. So praise the Lord. The word is good. Good help in this time and season. We're going to leave blessed. Hey, before we dismiss, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's worship and honor the Lord for a minute. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you for your word tonight, Father. We leave doers and we leave changed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.